one. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I've got a guest here, and let me introduce him to you. He wants to say a few words. My guest name is God. God, go ahead, please. Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. Okay, thank you, God. That's a good message. Well, my friends, I'm just joking, of course, but I wanted to make this very relevant and real in regard to praying for people. Did you get what? I actually heard that from a near-death experience. This man, he was a Vietnam veteran, came back from two tours, bought himself a brand new Mustang, was going down the road to a party on a Saturday night on a country road, doing about 100. And if you're familiar with those early Mustangs, they're very front heavy. He hit some bumps, lost control, and the car flipped over several times, end over end, wound up on the side of the road on fire. And he had a terrible gaping head wound, and he was dying. To make a long story short, he found himself in the presence of a beautiful, beautiful, tall being of light who he assumed was God. And among the different things that God said to him, God said, take this back and share this. Man will pray, P-R-E-Y, on man until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. Now, I hope that doesn't go over your head like you forget about it. That came from the mouth of God himself, probably the Father God. I don't think it was the creator of the universe, the Father God. And there's a Mother God, too. But Father God said those words, in my opinion, to Lou Famoso. And you can check out that near-death experience. There's a YouTube video about it. There's, I think, several. It's not a typical near-death experience YouTube video, but it still can be enlightening if you're interested. And so, if you only knew the power of your prayers, my friends, if you only knew the power of our prayers, how things actually do change, usually for the better when you involve God or the Creator in our lives, things always seem to turn out for the best. So if you got a problem, you got an issue, you need some help. Now, don't tell me that you're not brave enough, please, or you're not strong enough or not fast enough to say your prayers at least once a day. Me, I'm praying multiple times. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says to pray constantly, right? Because that is the right thing to do. You are hardwired, my friend. Your brain, your spirit, your soul, your body is hardwired to communicate with the Creator of your soul and your spirit. Hardwired. You can't communicate with the Creator. And the more you do it, the better your relationship is going to be. How do you like that? Doesn't that sound encouraging? The more you pray to whoever you're praying to, if you want to pray to Jesus and the Mother Mary, that's fine. Me personally, in my opinion, I go straight to the top. I don't need an intermediary. I know what some people have told me before, and that's their opinion, right? No one opinion is different than the other. They're still all opinions. You want to believe that the sun is blue and a plane didn't hit the Pentagon on 9/11, and that's fine. You're still entitled to your opinion. What matters is the truth. What is the truth? That is more important than that. And with all the different religions in the world, no single one religion can be true. Am I right or am I right? Agreed? No? How many religions are there? Like over 900. Each one claiming or professing the truth. The Christians say, what we believe in is the truth. The Muslims say, what we believe in is the truth. And they've gone to war before in the past over that. And still do today, fighting. You know why? Because it's not the truth. Does that make sense? They wouldn't be fighting and arguing if they were secure in their beliefs, which were true, because they wouldn't need to impress anybody. They wouldn't care because it is truth. You get into an argument with someone, then obviously your beliefs are not built on that foundation of truth. Me, I think I know what the truth is for the most part. I'm 7 years old. I've been working on this for many, 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 many years. And it's all there in my book, The Gray Brain, G-R-A-Y, and The Golden Soul, S-O-U-L, in the Amazon Kindle bookstore, which is free. If you're interested in checking it out. I think, though, you have to have an Amazon Kindle account. I was hoping to get some royalties for that book, but Amazon Kindle, I never got one single penny from them. That's okay, because spirituality really shouldn't have a price on it. Although, if you're looking for a spiritual advisor out there, I am available. Mr. Trump, Mr. Musk, you need someone to tell you the truth, that there is a mother God, that the heaven is sun, that the devil is none other than Archangel Lucifer and works for God. God didn't make any mistakes. An omniscient being does not make mistakes. And make a being, create a being that who later on he would be able to look into the future and know that he would rebel against him and have power equal to him. No. God does not make mistakes. The Creator does not make mistakes. Archangel Lucifer is none other than the leader of the demons and hell, while Archangel Michael is the leader of the angels. And that's true. Like I said, all of that, if you don't believe it, you're entitled to your opinion. Well, I'm going to take a drink. That's right, my friends. Let me go back to what I said about the sun being heaven. The sun is the matrix of our solar system, right? Right. It provides the heat and the light that keeps planet Earth alive, shall we say, in that green zone, right? Heat and light. However, it also provides the energy, whatever you want to call it, gravity, which some people really can't grasp exactly what gravity is. I mean, they can define it with some words, but no one really knows what it is. But that energy that rotates our planet on its axis and revolves it around itself is that energy, gravity, what have you. Did you know the sun also does that? It has that power to rotate and revolve. Where else would it come from? From outer space? Well, Einstein did say that according to his theory of general relativity, that space is like a fabric which can be warped. It's like a grid. And then almost like a trampoline. Say, for example, you put something, an object on a trampoline. You know how it kind of caves in the middle there? Well, it's kind of like that. You put the sun there, like that ball on a big ball on a trampoline, and then all the planets are in their patterns, if you will, a sort of electromagnetic grid, if you will, the grid of the fabric of space, which is like a material. It's not nothing, and it's not just blackness. It's a material. That's why I've said before, and I'll say it again, this whole situation that we're a part of, the universe, the physical universe, is a manufactured reality. It's not who we really are. We are spirits in the material world, and everything that was created out of physical matter or dark energy the building blocks, which are the building blocks of the physical universe, were made for us, for physical bodies to live in this universe. One solar system after another, it all began. One galaxy after another, after so many solar systems were formed. And here we are in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, rotating on our axis at about 23 degrees at 600 miles an hour, by perfect clockwork, no mistakes, no glitches, revolving around the sun 365 days a year, perfect, 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 no mistakes, no glitches. And we take it for granted, don't we? Our sun is what they call a white dwarf G2 main sequence star. But like I was saying, use the eyes of your spirit to follow me along here, if you would please. Then take a drink first. The eyes of your spirit, my friends, are what you use when you dream at night. You ever have any dreams? I'm sure you must have had at least one dream that you can remember, my friends. Just one dream. You remember places that you went to, things that you did, maybe you even flew in your dreams. You were looking around, right? You envisioned, or better put, you saw with your spirit eyes everything that you remembered in that dream. Your physical eyes were closed, right? But your spirit eyes were open, and you went to places like people do at nighttime to refresh their spirits and solve problems and whatever is bothering them, any financial issues or marital issues or family problems, any health issues. We all try to resolve them in the dream world. And dreams can be controlled. If you write down your dreams, I started to do that, and then I thought to myself, this is getting pretty heavy, because when you do write down a dream, you've got a piece of paper and a pen by your bedside, and you wake up and you start writing things down. You can learn more about your dreams and possibly even obtain dream control. But I've always known that, but I haven't been interested in doing it because I didn't want to dedicate the time and effort. It just wasn't that interesting to me, I guess you could say. But going back to what I was saying, with the eyes of the spirit, my friends, let me take you on a journey and tell you a story. There, 93 million miles away, is a world on fire. But it's a very special fire. It's the fire of God. You could compare it to a nuclear fire where millions of tons of hydrogen are being converted into helium every second. And it's been in existence for many millions of years. I don't want to boggle your mind with any numbers that I think our astronomers and scientists have exaggerated before in the past. Suffice it to say, at least a couple million, 3 million years old, the sun is, and it can stay in existence and function optimally for probably many more millions of years. And I base my opinions on things I've read and heard from people, information that I've learned. So let's go on that journey into the sun. Remember, your spirit. First of all, I need to ask you a question. Do you have a spirit in your body? Do you believe that you have a spirit in your body and a soul, which is the brain of the spirit? Well, if you don't believe that you have a spirit in your body, well, then you can just close your ears or tune off tune back in about a minute or so. But for those people that believe that you have a spirit in your body, well, congratulations. You are right. Take it from the Reverend Blake Ruby. It's made of billions of electrons. Because we are made of light. We are beings of light. Just like the Creator was telling you about, Father God, Mother God, we are all made of light. And just how bright your light shines depends on how much you want to develop yourself spiritually while here on planet Earth. From the day you're born to the day you die, you have lots of time to increase the light of your soul's lamp. That makes sense? Your soul shines with a light. I guarantee you, you'll find out. When you cross over to the afterlife, you'll see that your spirit shines and your soul shines with a certain intensity of light. And you're going to see other beings, people that have lived on Earth before, patriarchs of the Bible, the disciples, Jesus, the Mother and Father, God, angels. They all shine with a certain intensity of light. Now, the more highly developed and spiritually evolved you are, the greater your light is. In fact, if you get in the throne room close to the Mother and Father God and Jesus who died on the cross, other great personages who lived on earth, wonderful people who did great things, who looked after humanity and showed kindness and love to their fellow human beings, they will shine with a very bright light. So I give you, before I continue on, let me give you a challenge to increase your light, the light of your soul, which is, it was created with a spark, if you will, just like if you light a lantern, a kerosene lantern, and you put a match in there and you light it, and you can adjust the intensity, right? Well, we are all born into this planet with our souls at a certain intensity of light. And the object of us being here is to develop ourselves spiritually. No other reason, not money, not raising children, not freedom and pleasure. Develop ourselves spiritually. And by increasing the light, excuse me, I'm going to take a drink. Of our souls, then we contribute to the evolution of the universe. Back to what I was saying, is traveling our spirits with our spirit eyes, and spirits can see. They look just like the regular body, the same characteristics. When we wind up there, you'll be surprised at just how similar things are. You still can see. Even though it's enhanced, greatly enhanced, you still can hear, and that's enhanced too. And you can feel and touch. And you can smell, and sometimes the senses are intermingled, if you will. You can smell sound and hear different aromas, kind of. And I'll elaborate on that a little bit further as we go on here. So your spirit can travel also, either by the speed of thought or in a conventional mode. You can walk along the surface of a location, I guess, location. You can fly. The spirit can fly like you fly in your dreams. Sometimes I do. I'm sure you do also. You can just get from A to B by thinking that you're at B and you're there. And some spaceships do that, traveling around the universe in the parallel universe, otherwise known as the fourth dimension, which is a spiritual dimension, a dimension of thought. And they basically travel by thought. But back to what I was saying, let's delve into the atmosphere of the sun. Through all that fire, remember, the spirit can live in fire. Just like unfortunately for some people, they wound up in a fire down below the surface of the earth, which is a rehabilitation. It's not eternal damnation. And they're there because they were very bad people, to put it mildly. Some people, murderers, or, responsible for many murders, many deaths. Always remember to say your prayers and repent. Always ask for your loving Creator to reconcile your sins on a daily basis, my friends. You might not be completely saved, but it will make a difference, if you've done something really bad. So, the Spirit, let's say I'm taking you on a journey. You're next to me. We're flying, right? Let's fly into the sun. We're not getting burned because we're spirits. We're made out of light energy. And what is the sun? Nothing but light energy for our solar system, right? So far, so good. Are you with me? Once we get down into the atmosphere, you will see beauty like you've never imagined. You'll see mountains just like here on Earth, and valleys, and rivers, and oceans, and lakes, trees, beautiful trees everywhere, with the fruit of life on some of them, fields of green grass, fields of wheat and other vegetables being grown on that land. And then there's causeways everywhere, roads, if you will. And on those roads are chariots that are driven by angels, taking those redeemed spirits that make it to heaven. And I know you will, my friend, if you're listening to my show right now. All over heaven. And you will meet all your deceased relatives, even ancestors you didn't even know you had, dating back hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. Because guess what? Me personally, I've only been able to trace my family tree to 1610 in the London area, but logically we know it goes on and on down the road in the past, all the way to the very beginning. Am I right? Whether you were the first human beings here on Earth, or you came from another planet, the Jewish people came from Hebra, the black race and the yellow race that came here about maybe 2 million years ago, 1.5 million years ago, we're from a planet in our Milky Way galaxy called Bacchaterini. Bacchaterini had gone through some changes. And to make a long story short, after a lot of fighting over the many, many years, they finally got along together and realized it's just no good to keep fighting each other and killing each other. There's a better road than that. There's a road of love and peace and kindness and happiness, where we let our children grow and have fun and be happy, and their children and so on. They don't have to worry about all this violence that we see and have seen in the past. So back to the sun descending down into these valleys. And what we're looking at are the outer boundaries of heaven, if you will. And angels, when you see them, there'll be a remembering. You remember, before you were born, all those years ago for some of you, you existed. In fact, you existed back, I don't know, I've heard this recently from some teachings by Edgar Cayce, and he was a very evolved soul, a very enlightened human being with incredible knowledge of who we are. And he suggested that we go all the way back. We were created. Each one of us is unique and an expression of the Creator, all the way back from the very beginning of the universe. And I think that's a possibility. And we're on a journey, our soul's evolution journey, from one life to another on all these different planets that exist out there. But back to what I was saying, you meet your deceased relatives, and all the people that have lived here on Earth, all the movie stars that have passed away in the past, the musical stars, people from all fields of study that have lived throughout the centuries of astronomy, science, mathematics, physics, brilliant, brilliant minds that were here at one time that walked on a daily basis this planet. They used to wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night like us. They did their time. They reached that expiration date and they transitioned to the afterlife. Their spirits did. They left their bodies behind like a used coat, which was no longer needed. It served them well, and like mine serving me well. And I feel sometimes a fear, but I'm not afraid of enlightenment, my friends. If I was to pop out of my body right now as a spirit and travel to that land of light over there, the spirit world, I would leave that decision up to the Mother and Father God. But it's really already written in stone. We just don't know what date it is, but some people do, including our Mother and Father God, our spirit guides, our guardian angels, other people in heaven, deceased relatives, probably know when that time comes, when that time is coming, whether it's maybe 10 years from now or 1 year from now, or even tomorrow, possible. The Mother and Father God in their great and infinite wisdom know what's right. They know what's best for the world. Ultimately, I have to put aside my quest for daily pleasures in life and the freedom that I have and sacrifice that for the betterment of the world. Make the world a better place. It's so important. It's important that this world evolve to a higher level. Not only us who are here, the human beings, everyone on this planet, all 7 billion of them, but also planet Earth. Believe it or not, this world is like a cosmic being. You might have heard Mother Gaia before. It is alive. This planet is alive, my friends. Besides having that plant and animal life on it and human beings, it is a cosmic being. And on the evolutionary scale, it's a number one, which means it's the lowest on the totem pole, so to speak. But it's waiting to evolve to a level two. The Mother and Father God, this is their world. They created this in their little patch of infinite space. They achieved that co-creator God status after so many lives of purifying their souls, if you know what I mean. I'm going to take a drink. And they're there in heaven. You might have heard about the holy city. There is a holy city. Outside the city, as I mentioned, it's like paradise. People travel everywhere. And the order of business during the day, if you want to call it that, being on the sun, of course, there's no sunrise and sunset. It's just like maybe a different kind of softening, if you will, of the glory of that light at different times, if you know what I mean, a softening of the glory of that light. And that paradise with all the different souls that lived here on earth, all the angels, everyone, who include the Mother and Father God and Jesus who died on the cross, all the great people that have lived here from different cultures, and there is no religion in heaven, like I mentioned before on other shows. People are only praising and worshiping and loving the Creator of the universe, for the miracle of all creation, which didn't have to be from the very beginning. Before the Big Bang, the Creator existed, and nothing else except for darkness and silence. And then by the power of the Creator's will, the universe, the physical universe, began to form itself. And why, you ask? So the Creator could experience what it's like from different perspectives of his or herself, because the Creator is both male and female. In other words, to split his or herself into all these different sentient beings. To better explain that, let me tell you about the four forces of the universe. The first force was the force that created all the suns and the planets and the moons. The second force was the force that created all the animal and plant life on the planets. The third force was the force that created all the sentient life, all the different beings that are out there, mostly humanoid, different color skins, different color eyes, different shape eyes, different heights and different sizes, different levels of evolution, some that have been in existence for millions of years longer than we have here on Earth. They're all out there because the universe, and Einstein knew it, one of the greatest, smartest men in the history of the world knew it, that we are not alone. The universe is teeming with life. We have to look at it logically. If all this life here on Earth happened by accident, logically it could happen by accident on thousands of planets elsewhere. And you know they're discovering them all the time. But you already knew that they existed, my friends. Deep down in your being, you know that. But if there is a Creator, which there is, who is omniscient and omnipotent, that Creator has the power and the knowledge to create either this life or life like we can't even imagine or comprehend anywhere. I do mean anywhere. Anywhere in the universe. And that's what we do when we're in heaven. Besides evolving our souls and learning new things, the praise activities and the worship activities go on a daily basis. Again, why? Because we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the creative universe. And that is worthy of praise, my friends. Thank you, Creator, for our existence, for my existence. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your love. You know me intimately. You know how many hairs I have on my head. You know how many grains of sand are on every beach and planet Earth. You know everything. I'm going to take a drink. When we're in heaven, our spirits can... Let's say, hold on, I'm going to get some bug spray here because I'm being invaded by bugs. Like little demons trying to get at my eyes. Don't worry, there's no bugs or mosquitoes in heaven, my friends. No bugs or mosquitoes in heaven. Maybe it's not fair to call them that. They're just looking for some food, I reckon. But I get a little bit of insect repellent. Put it around my eyebrows and on the side of my face, and they stay away for the most part afterwards. Back to heaven. It's good to be alive, isn't it, my friends? You know, breathe the fresh air here on Earth. Our brains are functioning well. Our lungs taking in the air and converting that, purifying the air into our blood and our hearts that beat independently of our wills. So amazing. Thank you, Creator. And that's what we do. There's activities all the time in heaven, my friends. All the angels there are in a mode of service. They know all about us. The method of communication is telepathy. There are feasts. Tables that are laid out, huge tables, way down there, maybe 1,000 feet long, adorned with ornaments of silver and gold and precious stones, which are everywhere in heaven also. The roads are paved with gold, transparent gold. It looks like glass. It's so shiny. Fountains of silver. As I mentioned, precious stones everywhere in the the gates of pearl and the walls of the city, every beautiful precious stone that you can think of, garnets, emeralds, rubies, diamonds, opals, and you know there's a lot of them here. They're very beautiful. What are they called? Tanzanite, turquoise. I'm trying to remember some other ones. Suffice it to say, every single precious stone that exists here on earth is there in heaven. And marble, too. Once you get inside the buildings, you know, the mansions that have been constructed, and they do that by thought, believe it or not. Because thought is a real, it's a real thing. Let me explain upon that, my friends. And when the Creator created the Big Bang and the universe began forming itself one solar system at a time, there were ribbons of energy. You ever heard of the super string theory? These little ribbons or bands of energy vibrate at a certain frequency. And some repel and some attract each other. When they're attracted, they begin to form matter. They begin to coalesce and form matter. And the incredible thing about it, my friend, is that all matter at its inception is nothing more than a powerful thought. So thought does matter, and it behooves us to be careful with our thoughts and what we say. I'm going to take a drink. So the idea of let there be light is just an example of what I mean. You speak those words, and those cosmic forces, those ribbons of energy, began to move in coordination with the intent of your spoken words, whether it's creating a world or spirit children with your soulmate, emerging spirits and the synchronization of thoughts and speaking words in synchronicity. And that's how our souls and spirits are created, just to give you a few words to explain that for you. I'm sure there's a lot more detail that I don't know. My knowledge is limited because no one's teaching me by myself, although I do learn from other people. I've read books, but I can only tell you what I've learned and what I know. I can speculate as to some other things, but I think you probably understand what I was saying in regard to how we can activate those cosmic forces by speaking the words. It's like it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and nothing was created without the Word. Right? That's true. Back to heaven. So we have all these parties and feasts. It's a joyful, happy, wonderful atmosphere. No one has any frowny faces. Everything is beautiful, glorious. People are laughing and loving each other there. It's going to be great, my friends. I mean, but we're here for a reason. So take advantage of every second. I encourage you while you're here. When we get to heaven, we won't need to sleep. Our bodies won't need to sleep, although rest is always recommended. We won't need to go to the bathroom, which is a pretty cool thing, right? And you'll meet people like King David from the Bible, who is one of the greatest praise masters. And people get really involved with their praise, just like they do here on earth, as it is in heaven too. You get King David leading a group of redeemed spirits, and there'll be some angels possibly, and there'll be some angels hanging out. They too also praise the creator of the universe. people usually have a harp. You might laugh, but it's an instrument of choice from what I understand, what I've read. Let me give you a reference that you can check out yourself. It's a book called Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne by the Reverend Elwood Scott. It's the best book about heaven that you can read out there. Take it from me. And King David is the ultimate praise master, as you know from what you read about him in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm, etc. He has a crown, and you can wear a crown too if you're highly developed and spiritually evolved. Having robes and gowns, everyone usually has a robe or a gown on, and depending on the level of your evolution again, it could be white, or it could be not so white, or it could be shining bright, and it'd be hard to even look at. It's so bright. And you might meet some spirits there like Jesus, who died on the cross, or the Mother and Father God, who you can't even look at them. They're so bright. And they have to, because it's like magic, they'll allow you to look into their light and see their faces or their bodies if they want to. Otherwise, they shine with a light that is so powerful, it washes over you and me like a hurricane force wind. And if you're not sufficiently developed spiritually, you'll have to lie prostrate on the floor and maybe only be able to look up occasionally and see an arm or leg or hand. And they're huge, too, because they're growing. And that was another thing, too, the creator of the universe, what he, she wanted to do was to grow. So before the physical universe, the creator was kind of static, powerful, and don't ask me how she began or when he, she will end. Just we have to accept the reality that the creator of the universe has always existed. I know it's hard to fathom that with our finite minds, but that is the truth. I'm going to take another drink. So King David, he's got red hair, he's got a beard, he's got a crown, and he's the main praise master. You get together with King David, I mean, people are falling out, falling down. Oh, my God. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything. Thank you for this world. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for the universe. You're so awesome. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient. That's hard to understand. You're just great. You're wonderful. And you're out there. You exist. You're real. We love you. Thank you. You love us. We love you. We want to worship you forever. You're worthy of it. And that's what's going on in heaven, my friends. So let's go take a look inside the city. Let's walk to those gates of pearl, these walls that rise up, they say, 1,500 miles. I don't know if that's true or not. But suffice it to say, they're very tall. And there's angels everywhere, angels at the entrance. Again, as I mentioned, you have to be sufficiently developed to get inside the city. Because at the center of the city is the throne room, the Mother and Father God. So they know that you didn't do a good job developing yourself spiritually here on earth, then you're going to have to go back in the borders of paradise, in the borderlands of paradise, and work on your spirituality so you can get to the city and then further on to the throne, because that's where all the activity is. That's where the fun is. That's where the action is, being around the throne room of the Mother and Father God with the angels and the redeemed spirits, and there in front of the throne room on the sea of glass, the dancing, the singing, the love, the happiness, the joy. It's taken to a higher level there, my friends. But going inside, let's say, okay, an angel there. And angels are very tall. I mean, you'd be blown away by just how tall some angels are. They can be anywhere from 10 to 15 feet. And there's different types of angels everywhere, right? They're servants. They know all about you. There's nothing hidden there, you know, telepathically. You immediately know each other and all about each other in a matter of a few seconds. And you could be there in the Book of Life, which is apparently at the entrance to the city. I'm going to take a drink. And everyone is trying to get to the throne room. So if you're not sufficiently developed, then you got to go back and you got to eat fruit from the tree of life and drink water from the river of life, and you got to mingle and you got to learn. You got to go to these different learning places, buildings led by people teaching. There's always seminars and lectures and speeches given by the great people that lived here on earth, helping you to understand more if you didn't already know the truth of everything there in heaven before you passed over into the afterlife, into that world of light. And so there's, as I mentioned, there's building, beautiful buildings everywhere that look like they're made out of marble or pearl or crystal, and with all the colors of the rainbow, some of them, I mean, just beauty beyond imagination. And it's there waiting for us. That's where we were before we were born. Even though from there, we can do our study and research as to how to evolve our soul for the next life, if we so desire, because being born into a material world is not an easy thing. And planet Earth, I've said this before and I'll say it again, I'm going to take another drink. Planet Earth is one of the most difficult schools of learning as far as planets are concerned in the universe. In the University of the Universe, Planet Earth, the school of Planet Earth, is extremely hard. And it's a Category 1 planet. Out of the other planets of the universe, which are categorized on a scale of 1 to 9, whereas 1 is the lowest on the totem pole, so to speak, and the number 9 is the highest, Planet Earth is a number 1, Category 1. And what does that mean? It means that it is a planet where we learn basic social values. We learn to love each other. It usually has had a lot of killing and war in the past, like ours has throughout the centuries. But it's understandable, too. We're living with animal life here and plant life. And we're not at the top of the food chain. Plus, Mother Nature can be very powerful at times and overwhelm us with her might. Case in point, the floods recently up north, or the wildfires in California. Think about the people that died. That weighs heavily on our psyches. Tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes exploding, getting struck by lightning, tornadoes. Mother Nature is very powerful when she rises up. And that weighs heavily on ourselves. The barometer is always rising and falling. The atmosphere, in other words, affects us. And we have to deal with all of that. From Mother Nature and not being at the top of the food chain, as well as going out there on the highway, where about 50-some thousand people die each year throughout the United States and hundreds of thousands throughout the world. We could also die in a plane crash, a boat sinking. There's a lot of different ways to die, my friends. Again, all this weighs heavy on our psyches. And that's why planet Earth is a very, very difficult school of learning. Give yourself a pat in the back for having survived thus far, my friends. You've done well. Every day that you survive is a victory. I mean it. How am I doing on time? It's almost time. So I just want to talk a little bit more about the buildings in heaven besides the building you're going to be in, which might already have been constructed by your family who have preceded you. Mansions are real. They're made out of the most beautiful material that we have here on Earth. Everything that you love in your homes, your regular homes, you're going to find there. Everyone wants to look after you and make you happy. And it's just a form of love. They want to love you and want you to love them back. And they're there waiting for you. And you could maybe have a little log cabin next to a babbling brook in the woods. That's a possibility if that's what you want. Anything that you want, you can have. That's why Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Whatever he knows you want, he'll make it for you. Or your relatives that preceded you, maybe a spouse or a mother or father or a grandfather, grandmother, other ancestors, they know all about you. They can look in on you all the time. They can look in on us. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Everything is being recorded by heavenly computers. You might laugh at that, but you know I don't make that up. This kind of stuff, I'm not making it up. Every second is being recorded. That's why you're going to have a life review when you pass away on that judgment day. And you're going to see every second of your life shown in front of your eyes. Take another drink. Well, my friends, suffice it to say, heaven is a beautiful place, and it awaits us. So, work. Let's work towards going there and increasing the lamp of our soul. As I mentioned, we have that little spark of the Creator in our souls, that little fire in the lamp, like I mentioned. And it's our duty, our obligation, if you will, to turn that fire up some more and increase the lamp of our soul so that when we get to heaven, our whole being, including our spirit, will shine with that level of evolution we have achieved while here on Earth. As I mentioned, this is a very difficult school of learning. A lot of people come here to endure that. And for some, it doesn't work out so well, but everything is perfect in the scheme of things as far as what's meant to be. We plan our lives in advance, including the accidents and the eventual day that we will die. Everything planned, our families, what we're going to look like. Mm-hmm. I've got 1 minute, my friend, so let's all go out into the backyard of our houses this evening and look up into the sky and see those stars out there, which are really suns and their planets, and know that the creator of the universe is out there among them. And we can communicate with him, her, just by saying a prayer like this. Creator of the universe, you're so awesome. We know that praise is like love, and you're so worthy of it. No one compares to you, Creator. Nothing compares to you. You are awesome and magnificent and amazing, and we love you. And we're trying to love you more. We'll worship you forever because you're so worthy. Thank you for everything. Thank you for our existence. Amen. Bye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.